Thanks so much for listening to Blue Skyros Radio. Today with me is Peter Ahlqvist from Sweden, and he's the founder of the record label Burning Heart and the co-founder of Panic in Action. Thank you so much, Peter, for talking with me today.
Yeah, hi, I'm here. I'm ready, so to say. So, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. So, how did you get started in the music industry?
Oh, I guess I'm quite... Well, it was quite a long time ago, so... I started a label, Burning Heart, I started in 93, but I started to work with music much much earlier than that. I guess sometimes 1980 or 81. I didn't start to work with music, but I started to be into music and started to do things as a hobby, doing fanzines, smaller magazines, basically, that I put out myself. And then it developed and turned into me doing some records with local bands, some distribution, mail order. I started to put up some shows, doing tours. Yeah, and further on it went. It's just like it developed into various things around music, basically, from having an interest in punk rock music. Basically, was the start of it. Anyway.
You brought so many bands, you and other people, like you were the heart of it, you brought so many bands to Fagerstad, this little town in Sweden. How did you manage to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it was the development of all the other stuff. It was growing into something, going from one thing to the other, and developing, basically, wanting to do something in this little, you know, you live there, you know. It's a little, very small town. Not a lot of things happens, but it's also a very good town in a lot of ways. So I managed to get some people around me, and we did things basically. So, and then we opened up this club called Rockborgen, which was an old cinema basically that was laid to rest. And we took it over basically. We started to put on shows and did a lot of shows for, I think it was just a couple of years, basically, because it was very short term of life. In 2-3 years, we started to bring in bands, and I booked the bands through contacts in Europe, in Sweden, and I also flew in a lot of bands to do exclusive shows. So it was a very cool time, also because the death metal wave happened, or the metal thing, and a lot of these bands came up, and we were part of it. We were really early, and we were the first in Sweden to start to do it in a little bit more professional way, I would say, before all the other professional promoters started to get into it. Mm-hmm. So it was good. I mean, we had bands like Sepultura did their first Swedish show there. We had, bands like Soul Asylum. I don't know. I was going to say they were Canadian, but they are not. They are from somewhere in the US. We had Death. We had Creator. We had Death Angel, Forbidden. There was tons more. Sodom, GBH,
DRI.
DRI, Corrosion of Conformity we had, and a ton of others, I would say. Also we had, parallelly, we started a festival that ran from, I think it's 1989, it ran for 6 or 7 years, and there we also booked a lot of bands. So Fagerstad was a good town for bands. Mm-hmm. I think Green Day and Radiohead did their first shows in Fagerstad also. So
I know, it's so amazing. It really truly is amazing. And I always say, I brag about you. I brag about being from this place in Fagerstad in Sweden and saying, this is what happened. Like, this is what you guys did for it. You really brought so much life to this small town. And you brought so many people. People from all over. And in such a unique genre. Like, so many different people came together. And thank you for what you did for the town, you know?
Yeah, it was good for me as well. It was developing myself as well in the process. And I mean, at that time, it was just something you did. It was very natural. I mean, today you can consider, I mean, it was, as you say, it was it meant a lot to a lot of people and a lot of bands and the scene. But at the same time, it was still very small. It was never big, as if someone would have brought in these bands, well, not today, but 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it would have been much, much bigger. We did it in our own way, without, you know, there was not much developed in terms of festivals and stuff in Sweden. Later, it became a lot of festivals, a lot of, yeah, bigger things where people, well, basically we didn't have any camping or anything, so it was still very small shows. You know, only 2,500, I think, we had when Rancid played. So, and Rancid was the headliner. I can't remember the other bands, but it was a really good year. And also because we were in a small city with very, quite a long way from the big cities. And also with a, yeah, people didn't, it was hard to travel there and go there. And only the, you know, there was only a small group of people from every city that went. But these were really like influential people, or so to say. It was really like, yeah, the hardcore fans went, the music people went, so it was really good for that. So there's a lot of talks about the thing, so yeah, it was cool years for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So how did you go from, you mentioned you started Burning Heart Records as well, so that was obviously something that developed out of all of this work you did.
Yeah, and I started actually, the name I started to use a few years earlier, I started to do Burning Heart promotions, basically, and I started to, well, book some things, I started to promote some things, and worked with a band called Kasiurol, a metal crossover band, and that was under that name. And then I also think we put out the first Kasiurol record, was put out under that label, and there was no intention to start up a record label. It was just Burning Heart, basically. There was also a magazine done to promote the festival and the shows under that name. And then suddenly in 1993 or something, I decided to, I want to do something else. And I, my years, I thought that my years in Fagersta was coming to an end, sort of, because we had lost our venue, the Rockborgen, the good one. And we had moved into some, well, shitty space. There was nothing compared to how it was, so how it used to be. So I was like, fine, what should I do? And then I started this label and decided to release a few singles, almost like a singles club, like, hey, let's start to release a few cool bands up and coming. So I released Refused and No Fun at All. And what happened then was that, yeah, it was just meant to be CD singles, because the CD was really starting to happen then in Sweden. And I put out CD singles, which was like a combination of an album and a single. It was like everything from 9 to 5 songs on there, or 4 songs sometimes. And these started to sell like hotcakes. It really sold well, and the bands started to pick up. And from there it went. I started to sign a few more bands, and the whole concept was good. There was something, people were waiting for this music, and also for the CD. It was a lot of music for a cheap value, for a cheap price. And so I sold quite a lot of records then, and that got me, yeah, that got me into it. And I started to realize I have to put out records, and I started to put out real albums. And from there it went, with No Fun at All, 59 Times the Pain, Millencolin, of course, and there were some others, Satanic Surfers, Breach, and so on. It was the early days, in 93, 94, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah, some good times.
So, you mentioned some of the bands that you have worked with. So where are you at right now?
Well, I'm actually restarted Burning Heart like a few years ago. I got the name back. We had some tough years in 2006, 2007, where more or less the band, the label, moved down to Amsterdam, and, well, together with Epitaph, and the whole Swedish operation was laid to rest. And I continued to work for Epitaph as an A&R, and I signed bands for them. So I signed a few artists that came out on Burning Heart, But it was all owned by Epitaph by then, and I was only working to sign the bands. So in that time, I signed Parkway Drive, which is something I'm really great band, and something was, I didn't get to work with them long, though, because I just signed them for Epitaph, basically. So it was kind of a, but the first record is out on Burning Heart. Well, not the first record, but the first that I signed, which is the second album of the band. And then I did some work with some other bands with Epitaph, and then after that I started my own label, Panic, and a new company called Panic and Action, together with another guy, and we started to work with Swedish bands, more up and coming young bands. And after that I did start Burning Heart again in 2014, the end of 2014, when the name came back. So now I'm working that, and have, you could say, three or four bands. I have Booze and Glory, Judah, Buster Shuffle, and I also work with old Crudesses, which is an old, really old band that I started, that I worked with in the early 80s, or 84. And we basically got together again because the band restarted and so on. So it's fun. But that's more for fun. It's more friends and, help them out. It's no big ambitions. But the others is just like, bands that want to get somewhere, and that I'm trying to help and make a career for, basically.
That's really awesome. Like, a lot of bands really got started with you. Even a band like Refused that have, like, a major... You know, even in Canada here, when you talk about Refused, there's people that, like, you know, remember and go to their concerts. And, like, it's really, maybe it's not even niche music, you know, like, they have a part of the market now. But, like, that band started with you. Like, if it wasn't for you and all the support and all the promotion, even a band like Refused, you know, like, wow, they have a lot of thank you to say to you.
I guess Well, I mean, it's funny because I released the first single with the band, and then and the band were already under contract with someone for an album. So I only did the first single, and then the band came back in 97, I think it was. And it's cool because, I mean, at that time we had really built, Burning Heart had been built to something really good. I mean, I had good people around me, we had built a really good label, really good independent, and we sold lots of records, By No Fun At All, Millen Collin, and so on. And then came Refused, which was a big thing, and after Refused of course the band split up. It was a tough period because there was so much potential in the band. But of course they have gotten back, and the whole reputation, the band became cult, or what to say.
They grew bigger than themselves. Like, you know, it was so disappointing. And I've lived in Canada for a while now, so their album, Shape of Punk to Come, had come out, but then they split up, and it was sad. It was like seeing, you know, like family members or something. It was just like this tragedy, of especially when this amazing record came out. So them coming back together years later was like, really means a lot.
It was cool. I mean, I wasn't working the band then, so it was kind of like, you were not involved. Sorry, I'm just going to turn this off here.
It's okay.
So, but that was good. It was something really cool that happened. Something really extraordinary, and the band that, well, if they were a bit. Would have been American, I mean, they would obviously have been a lot bigger. I mean, you know, but still, they are pretty, quite a big band, I would say. And that also led to another band that became big. Well, it didn't lead to that, really, but still, I mean, we were really on top in those years. And then we also signed the Hives.
Yeah.
And we did the Hives for during their big... the whole big thing with them, which was also much bigger than Refused, actually. We saw lots of more records, and it was an even bigger thing in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, Refused is a special thing because the record is such an album. Hives is a different thing, but it's still, they were such a big band also, and really, also coming out of Fagersta, of course, which is also cool, coming out of the city where we... used to live, small 13,000 people, and then comes in this band that starts to become the biggest, almost like the biggest rock band for a couple of years. There was talk about them being one of the biggest rock bands, and they had a lot of chances there. They were really, really doing well for some time. They're still doing well, of course, but for a few moments, they were one of the hottest bands around, actually. So
yeah,
there was a lot of offers, there were a lot of sales, there were, yeah.
And would you say you discovered them? Like, you worked with the Hives early on and Fagersta as well?
Yeah, I mean, discover, of course. You always get to hear from someone who says, hey, you need to check out these guys. But it's always, I did the first EP, I did the first albums. So I did the first two albums. So, and the one which is Vini Vidi Vicious, which sold, it sold quite a lot of records. It was a combination there, because the record was out as a, we did a special thing with the UK, so we put out the a best of, kind of like a cool compilation. I mean, they only had what, two albums out, but we put songs together for a special release in the UK. I think we sold 400,000 of that record.
Wow.
And we also had a record in the US which had now by now sold probably 500,000 or so. And it could have been much bigger if other things would have happened. This could have been a million seller in the US. Now it's sold like 500,000, which is still good, still really good. So the band become very popular and very big, but they could have been much bigger, I think.
I guess it's a bit of a challenge sometimes to navigate, you being in Sweden, I guess pop posts, challenges maybe that somebody in North America doesn't have to worry about. It's more difficult when you're in Sweden, especially with the niches of music that you're in too. But I mean, you've started a lot of great bands. You're kind of like a godfather a little bit for these people.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm old now, so yeah. No, but it is. I started a lot of good projects, of course, and I've been involved. I mean, I've been really interested in music and involved for such a long time. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I mean, it's tough. It's been a lot of challenges. There's a lot of changes in the music industry that's been changing the way I work and how I am, what I'm doing now compared to what it could have been. I mean, the whole technical thing was a tough thing to digest, but not only for me, but for every company, all the independents, everyone really. So, I mean, it's been good years, but it's also been tough years, of course, with all of this. And but I hope I'm gonna continue to do music. It's still tough, of course. I mean, the whole how do you make money out of it? I mean, there is the digital side of things, but it's also you need to invest money and you need to get your money back sooner or later. So, which is tougher with digital, because it takes longer and it's a different process than compared to selling a lot of CDs. Burning Heart came in the CD period, which was fantastic because you really could sell a lot of CDs. It was, was nice, great to see that, wow, there's actually, you can sell them in every store, everywhere basically. They are interested in punk. And yeah. Now you have to work a different way because it's vinyl and it's digital. So it's a different kind of investment and a different kind of how you get your money back. So that's what I'm struggling with, how to, that's what I'm struggling with, how to, invest in new bands and continue to invest when the money takes longer to come in, basically.
Yeah.
And it's also tough. Bands, of course, if it's slower with income, how do they survive? So there's a lot of challenges still to work there. But my main thing is still to try to find a lot of great new bands and try to work them. So we'll see. It's a new phase. I mean, I haven't really, I started Burning Heart 3 years ago now, and it was more like, okay, I got the name back, let's start it. But now I'm like in a stage where I have to develop it and really decide how I'm gonna do this, how I'm gonna make it bigger again, because I want to make it bigger. I don't want to wait too long either. Like, natural development, of course, it's about natural development of the bands, but you also need to push it, and that's why I need to start find ways to really grow the company.
Yeah. Do you focus a lot on tours as well? Or like I know some of these bands come over to North America because I you know, I follow your pages and things like that. So do you focus on touring as well? Is that a way to make money or is that just a way to get the bands out there?
Yeah. What I'm doing now is like I'm doing management and record company thing. So I'm also doing management for bands and of course it's a lot about touring. The touring is the most important thing for the bands to and for the exposure of everything basically. And it's also, of course, since the music I work with is more live based than it is radio oriented. So it's a big thing and it's definitely something we are and it's just me right now basically, so I'm looking at bringing in people and getting the whole thing bigger, and the live thing is of course the most important thing to get the band bigger and bigger by that way to develop things. I mean there's a limit in what you can sell of a vinyl today, and also there's of course the digital thing is more something you can develop maybe. Well, you can develop the vinyl as well, but there's always a limit to it. And I'm not really a vinyl company yet. There's a lot of I think I lost a lot of money so far on the vinyl because it's so new, and you need to get a catalog going. You need to get the coordination of things, and you need to come to a certain point where before you start to make any money on things like that. I have still too few releases really, and which I'm working on to sign new bands and new releases, but of course the live part is the most important to get the bands going on that side, which I'm working on to talking to agents and going territory by territory, so that's the most important thing I would say, but it's a combination. Of course you need a record out, you need to work on all the sides.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it's amazing because I remember growing up in this town seeing you were so dedicated and passionate. I remember you literally with your backpack at the local record store, and like it was like wow, you know, it was just exciting, and then like bringing these concerts there. So the longevity you have it, and the awesome bands like you have it, it's just a matter of time. And you know, you've been around for so long that people with this kind of music, they know where to turn when they have an album or when they have this dream. They know who to contact, and that would be Burning Heart Records, right?
Yeah, I guess so in a way, but at the same time, it's yes, but it's also challenging now because you have to realize how to make the business side out of it. I mean, the whole contract looks different today compared to vinyl, CD, and so on. But yeah, I would say it's people. I think the name. A lot of bands want to sign with us, want to do things, but it's also a matter of how do I get time? Do I have money to invest in this and that record? Which is the toughest part. So that's what I have to work on now. I really, really realized that lately that I need to really get started. And well, I realized that a long time ago, but it's a stage I'm in right now, how to develop the company to just be about the few bands, or I think I need like 6 or 7 bands to work with, and then bring in some more people to work alongside me, and then we can get something really good going. So that's what I'm working on now. I mean, the whole, of course, there's a history, there's Burning Heart, it's a cool label, it's a good reputation, but now I need to make something bigger out of it, and you're struggling how long you can do it on your own, which I can't do much longer. I need someone to come in and, you know, do the dailies, and I can work on the bands in the bigger planning and all that stuff. So that's where I am right now, in a lot of planning process and finding money process. So that's which is tough sometimes, and that's why I have to go now after the New Year's. I really have to. I have to go and get the money. I have to go and find a plan how to develop this.
That's exciting. It's a very unique industry you're in to begin with. And I mean, obviously you have had very reach for the stars kind of thinking already, because that's literally what you have been doing. So, you know, I wish you all the luck. And I saw you had a job posting too, and for somebody really lucky who lives in Sweden who fits this description, yeah, right?
Well, I don't know if it will be Sweden actually, but well, I will find someone in Sweden, but I'm looking at other plans as well. It really depends on what happens and how I find the money and where to go, because I mean sometimes if you find people with money you may have to work alongside them in some way, but I'm trying to find people with money who don't have too much to say, so to
yeah
say. so but of course, as you say, shooting for the stars. I mean, I want to get back there with the bands and with what I'm doing in bringing the label back, and that's what I'm planning to do now in the next step. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I've been sick now for 4 weeks, so I'm like, not too bad. I mean, I had this I went to vacation and had these stomach problems, some bacteria, whatever. And now I live. So now I'm trying to come back for the next year.
Yeah, you need to recover first yourself, your physical health, and then you can move on and forward. What about, I know that there's still concerts sometime happening in Fagerstad, that the Hives play at Eskin and things like that. Are you involved in any of that, or is that other people organizing this now?
Not at all, actually. That was some years ago. They played, there've been a club that the younger people been doing. Some of the people have been in bands, basically. That's Magnus from 59 Times the Pain, who is the manager these days. 59 Times the Pain was a band on Burning Heart, and that guy now is a manager for Millen Collins, Sator, Graveyard, and some others. And he puts on a few shows with another guy from another old band, Bode from Riff, Kasurul, an old band. But it's been a club, but that's been basically, I think it may not be around anymore, because they, the club they've been doing at is probably going to be sold. So I don't know what's happening, what's in future for Fagerstad now. I know some people are starting to put on new shows at the motorcycle club, which is quite cool. So there's still some show. It's still a pretty good town for punk rock music compared to a lot of other cities. This definitely has a certain vibe around it, because I mean, you have No Fun At All comes from there. You had Crudesses, an old legendary punk band. You had Kasurul, which were never really big, but still. And then you have Hives, of course. And you have 59 Times the Pain, all in the area. Fagerstein, some of them lived outside, but you know, it was still a Fagerstein band. So it was, yeah, it's a fantastic city in that sense, I would say. It has a good history.
Yeah, it does. I hope that, you know, everybody that you helped along the way pay you back in some way, and you know, because literally, like, if it wasn't for you, some of these bands would have never really made it. So, like, I hope that they say thank you to you in some way, and maybe just, you know, put together this awesome concert and bring in some money to Burning Heart Records. And because you've been so, what's the word? It's like when you're a parent and you have a baby, but then you let the baby go. Like, that's kind of what you do. You, like, give birth to all of these great bands, basically, and then they go in the world. Right, so
yeah, it's a little bit like that. It was a little bit unfortunate, also, of course, when Burning Heart for a few years. Sorry, when the whole music industry had big problems in 2007, because I lost a lot of the bands, because for a moment the record company was not important. I mean, no one sold any records, and everyone cared about playing and getting good fees, so the record company became unimportant. So that was some tough years to really understand that, because you had been working so close to the bands. But I would say, I mean, of course, that's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of these bands. Everyone is still, so many of the bands are going back together as well. And yeah, I mean, it is as you say, and you feel like, I also feel with the Burning Heart, with the old bands, that I've been the father of the bands or the whole company, and then suddenly you don't work together with them anymore, which is kind of a strange feeling. you know, you feel like they're all out there, your shield, but you don't have a lot of contact with them. Some you have some contact with, but most of them, you have to let them go, but sooner or later, somehow you lose contact with them, and then you start to work with new bands all the time. So it's kind of a strange thing, really, where you have bands that really meant a lot to you, and then suddenly you have no connection or no business or any dealings with them, which is kind of strange.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I feel like in some ways or in a lot of ways. I don't think that you operate in the way that some companies are very faceless, they're very corporate thinking, whereas you maybe coming from where you come from and really grew up in this music community and being such a big part of it, like maybe for you it's not so much always about the money as it is about the development of the music. And because I mean, a lot of corporations, like, it's very faceless, it's not really about the connection between the people, it's just to get the bands out there, and it's about the money. But I mean seeing how long you've been in it, and like I think your connection to the music is much more intrinsic. I think you're doing it for many reasons that other people maybe don't, you know?
Yeah, that's of course, that's a part of it. That's a big part of it. It will never be corporate like that. So still it has to be business, though. But I mean, it's definitely, as you say, and there's the good and bad with it, of course, because you get more emotional with it also, of course, when you are closer to the bands and when you're thinking like it. So that's also a tough part of it sometimes. But now I'm trying to, now I have to really figure out how to work with the new bands and build the future with them for the next 10 years or whatever. We'll see. It's gonna be some, I really have to get myself together here now after the new year and get back to shape. It's not too bad, but I'm still, you know, I haven't trained in a couple of bunch of weeks, 3-4 weeks, and that takes its toll when you really want to get back. The whole Christmas period is awful, I think, you know, you can't work, you don't,
yeah.
No, I like Christmas, but still, you want to get back to work and get back to the normal and start to plan things again, because it's all dead in this period, and I'm trying to move ahead. That's the sad thing.
Well, you'll be hitting the new year, with your feet running, so you'll be ready, and I know what you're saying. It's good.
Yeah, you know, we all go down in tempo or whatever, so that's that we all need to come back to the reality, so to say.
Are any of your bands coming to North America anytime soon?
I think... Well, I know that, both or all are, actually. I know that I have Booze and Glory are doing something in April, like a East Coast tour, East Coast US, that is. And then I think we are Buster Shuffle, another band of mine, which is the ska band, is playing ska, which is a really good band. I mean, it's not traditional ska, it's more rock and roll, Jerry Lee Lewis kind of rock and roll in it, very boogie, very rock and roll. It's a piano driven as well. So they are coming to do some festival in June, and also doing a Florida cruise. Flogging Molly, the band Flogging Molly, has a cruise, a boat cruise, and they are playing on that. And then they're coming back in June, and so that's also two good things. And I also have the third band, Judah. They are coming back in the summer for some festivals, but it's not official yet, so I can't really say too much about it. So they're definitely playing the US and going for the US.
Nice, that's awesome. That's really great.
Yeah, I hope so. It's a lot of planning to do now, but it's definitely that the bands are starting to play all over, and so it's starting to develop.
So I just have a bonus question for you, considering all of your musical memories that you have and that. Like, do you have something, like a favorite memory or something that happened that, like, for somebody that's listening, they go, wow, like, I can't believe that's such an... Because there's so much happens in the music industry, so many crazy situations. Like, do you have something you want to share with us that was, like, a unique moment for you?
No, I'm so bad at these things, like memories and stuff, and what is important. I mean, I can't really say anything that means a lot to me. I mean, I it's just there's so many. It's not. I'm not so starstruck or anything like that. You mean I get to work with the people I grew up with,
yep.
Work, you know, listening to and so on. But that's more normal. So I can't really say there's anything special that's been happening. I mean, it was a lot of things that was big for me when I worked with the Hives, and we were so close to, you know, we lost the band in the end. They signed to Universal, and there was so much money involved. It was crazy amount of money, and that was a big, like, the biggest experience for me in this, which in both in good and bad, I think, when I realized how the industry works. But it's something like, I can't really say there was, but that whole period really was tough, but it also brought a lot of strength to an understanding of how it works, and it was so close to, you have a band that was so close to really make it, really, really become big, and they didn't in the end, because the record after the Burning Heart put out, the Hives' next record never became as big as the one we put out. So they put out the record on the major, basically, with a lot of money behind them. And that record, well, it didn't flop at all. It didn't flop, but it didn't sell as much as expected. And for a major label, it was nothing, you know. But that whole period where we had a band that could have been so much bigger, because the band was selling like 15 to 17,000 records a week, and then suddenly they played MTV Awards and the bigger, and the new record was supposed to, the new single was supposed to come out, the hit single from the album, I Hate to Say I Told You So, was supposed to be pushed to radio. Which means basically, okay, now it will be another lease of life for the record, lots more sales. And what happened then was that the band signed to another label, signed to Universal, and the whole campaign was dropped. The whole campaign from the old label, which was basically us and Warner and Epitaph, we put out the record. Basically, what happened was that Warner, who was, well, we had basically licensed the record to Warner, and what happened was that they dropped the whole project and said, fuck this band. Ew. Which is natural. Yeah, which is natural because they signed to another label. So why invest money in that? And so we saw the record went from 15 to 17,000 records the week, the week it was supposed to go up. Instead, they signed to another label, and the record dropped to 2,000-3,000 a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah. In a very short moment. So, it was from seeing a band that could, well, I would say, the record I told sold 500,000 in the States. It could have sold 1 million, 1.5 million, if it would have been, if the, you know, the whole push, promotional push that was supposed to go into it had happened. But so that was a big thing. It was a really, like, you see the music industry, how it works, if something, and this was a very extraordinary case where you have a band that is so, everyone is after, and it wasn't, you know, it was like the record companies were fighting so much about it, so they fought against each other, and in the end, the band and we were the losers in that, I would say.
Yeah.
So, that was like, really like seeing, okay, this is how it works. If you really want a band, and if you don't get the band, that was a big experience for good and bad, because you take some of the things with you. You learn a lot of things during that process as well.
Yeah, well, there's definitely a lot of just cold analytical thinking in music too, where the passion is gone out and it's only about, you know, the dollar figure. And in the end, the band doesn't win. And I mean, obviously, there's something lost there. And
yeah, there is. But still, I mean, you have to. That's why we try to work a different way when you have your small label, where you're so much closer to the bands and stuff. So we'll see. Hopefully, there's still ways to beat the system. How to say?
Yeah, well, if anybody can do it, you can. I mean, you come from the right background and very punk and everything. So obviously people know about you and you have that kind of creative thinking. So getting some more bands with you and, you know, I certainly have a lot of faith.
I need these words now, more than ever. No, but it's like when you've been sick for 4 years, you just want to get out and start working and you're like, fuck, I need to go back to work, because it's such a dead period in Christmas. So, but I really, it's good to talk about this and get to hear these things, because, well, you need to hear it sometimes as well, that the label's been important to people and the whole thinking. I know you grew up in Fagerstein. It was important for me as well to find my way of expression, but it was also, of course, I understand it, the whole label and what happened up there, the clubs and all the shows were very important to so many people. So it's good to hear that for sure. It gives you inspiration again to really continue and really realize that thinking like this is needed, even if it's from me or from someone else doing their own small label somewhere or wherever. It's you, the do-it-yourself spirit, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Do it yourself, because that's exactly what you did, right? I mean, it's like taking nothing and creating something, and, you know, thinking that something is possible in your mind and then going, okay, how do we make this happen? And I mean, you actually have something that many don't have, which is the authentic, like, you are in it for the right reason. And something like that, when you have the passion and you have the dedication, it will work, because some people are going to appreciate that close contact that they have with you. And I bet you some of these bands that when they left Burning Heart and they noticed that maybe the next record label, they don't treat them like you did, because I mean, it's kind of astonishing to see how many great first records people have that they released with Burning Heart Records, and then when they moved on, maybe it didn't continue the same way, because they left. You obviously give a lot of support to your musicians, and like for people to really step up and be able to, like, I mean, somebody comes to mind like Refuse too, like that record that they have, like, wow, you did that, you helped make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's also had a good team around me, which we really developed. I mean, all the other people who worked there were really good as well. But of course, I was involved in creating the team, basically. But you had a lot of, without these people, I don't think we would have been as good either, because there were some really good people, and we had, you know, we created a family, basically. So
yeah.
And there are labels that have been doing that and has been really good. But one important thing with Burning Heart in that process, I mean, there's a lot of record labels that are family and close to the bands, but I think it was always very important to develop bands and develop good records. You know, there's an importance there as well, not just release records, but also create good records and do something better all the time and reach for the stars, or how to say.
So
I guess that's what we're gonna continue doing that.
That sounds great, Pieter. Thank you so much for talking to me today, and good luck with everything that you decide to do. And definitely, if you want to send some tunes to the radio station, please do so, and let's stay in touch.
Yeah, definitely. That was good. It was good. Nice talking to you, Jennifer. And thanks. And have a good Christmas now and New Year's and everything. And stay in touch.
I will, for sure. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Take care then.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.